First of all, what do you think went wrong here? It used to be that the phones kept working even when the power went out.
That's right. It was a combination and an unfortunate compilation of things that went wrong on that terrible night. The number one, when Americans pick up a telephone, they have come to expect that they dial 911, it's going to go through and they're going to get help. And one of the reasons for that is that the phone companies actually do a pretty good job on that. It's a commercial service that the FCC, the government, requires. But on this particular night, hurricane force winds in the derecho, and the fact of the matter is some of the procedures, some of the facilities in Arlington and Fairfax just really weren't prepared in the way that they should have been. The report that was issued by Verizon on Monday really revealed some interesting things that are going to need some work.
Now, there's no federal oversight of electricity at the local level, only in the trunk transmission interstate lines. What about local communications? Does the FCC have anything to say over reliability there now?
You know, the way that the FCC addresses this is through an accountability program where if there's an outage of any type of communications over a certain amount, they have to, the phone companies have to come to the FCC and report. They have to make an initial report and then follow up with the reasons why it happened. This has actually improved the reliability of not only regular communications, but 911 communications. But as far as power, backup power, the generators they have, there are no specific rules as to that. And the carriers have resisted those, saying that they've got an economic incentive to keep them up. But in this particular case, we see that there were just widespread outages, and Verizon at first, and they admit, they didn't treat it like a widespread emergency, like a hurricane. They treated it like a customer service complaint calls, and that started a trend, I guess, that happened throughout that night of June 29, June 30th, that led to 911 outages that lasted for hours, and in Manassas Park, really days. Now, understand, for the FCC, if you're out for 30 minutes, that's a reportable event if it's a widespread area. This was hours. This really affected a broad area and was really dangerous.
So what do you think the FCC needs to do about this? What kinds of rules do you think they need to write?
Well, right now, there are obviously conversations that are going on between the FCC and Verizon. And really, this reminds me of something that happened when I was the chief there, where there was an outage in Montgomery County when we had a big snowstorm right at rush hour, and everybody called 911. That revealed some problems that not only Verizon would have had, but could have occurred other ways. And so we've learned with that. They updated the practices and procedures, and things get better. There will be a lot of things that will learn from this. But one of the things that I'm concerned about, everybody is moving more and more toward digital, broadband communications, VoIP communications. As we go more digital, there aren't any rules, and there's not clear authority. Some people dispute the authority of the FCC to provide rules, even for the outage reporting. We're going to have to deal with this, or we're going to see that as we get more sophisticated in our communications, they go broadband, our communications may actually get less reliable.
And I wanted to ask you just a technical question here, because at one time, again, when we had phones that plugged into the wall, and that was the phone you touched instead of this wireless business, even for landlines, there was power that came over the telephone wire itself, keeping phones going. Is that still the case, or do phones die just because the power goes out everywhere else?
They die. If it's a digital system, it in essence, it does die. I mean, so if you're relying on VoIP, sometimes the phones will have a battery that will keep it going for a while. But if the overall system doesn't have backup power, then you could lose it for some significant amount of time.
VoIP being voice over IP.
I'm sorry. Yes. VoIP
sure.
Being over internet protocol. So that is a concern. It's why at my house I maintain at least a backup landline. And if you go on the FCC's website, there's actually a great list of things you can do to prepare for derechos, tornadoes, hurricanes, to be ready for communications during emergencies. One of those ones is keeping one of the old-style phones in your house to plug up if you don't otherwise use them.
We're speaking with Jamie Barnett, Senior Vice President of Academic Programs and Research at the Potomac Institute for Policy Studies. Now, there's a big debate going on in the larger community over cybersecurity and as it relates to critical infrastructure. Phones, of course, 911 service is certainly part of the critical infrastructure. Should that be rolled into the cyber debate, or should the cyber debate maybe be rolled over to the physical dangers that are posed also to critical infrastructure?
Really, it's both, because this is part of our critical infrastructure. And as I said, our communications are going digital. We're moving from the old circuit switched to the packet switched era as we go. And it's not just 911. You know, we're also talking about a public safety broadband network, a wireless network for police and fire. Well, you know, now they are going to be subject perhaps to the same type of cyber attacks on police and fire and emergency medical communications. It's one of the things that we really have to pay attention to as we stand up the National Public Safety Broadband Network. That applies also to 911 communications, because they're going to be part of that network.
So what role do you see for a department like Homeland Security in all of this?
The Department of Homeland Security has a great view and vision for our critical infrastructures. The Office of Emergency Communications does a lot on this. They work very closely with the FCC's Public Safety and Homeland Security Bureau. And one of the great things that I think can come out, I mean, it's terrible that we had these outages this time, but one of the good things is there will be best practices that come out of that will help prevent future outages like this. But the accountability has to be there. We have to have rules in place that account for outages and bring those to light, not just for the old legacy circuit switched, but for the new broadband communications as well.
Now, you have said in some writings that the FCC opened a proceeding back in April a year ago, April of 2011, looking for information on what the industry is doing now to ensure continuity, existing and reliability and resiliency standards, if those are needed, FCC's role in promoting. What's the status of that information effort?
That proceeding is still open and ongoing, and quite frankly, in July, they put out another notice of inquiry that basically is in that same proceeding on this derecho. So it's going to be ongoing. A few years ago, the FCC, before I got there, the FCC put out a rule that said all wireless stations have to have 8 hours of backup power. Well, that was a little broad, and the carriers took them to court. Those rules never went into effect. And the reason is because not every cell tower has to have 8 hours of backup power, because in cities and things like that, if one tower goes out, you can actually boost the other surrounding cell towers and actually take care of it. But you do need to have a system in place, and there does need to be some accountability for it. And so that's why that resiliency proceeding, I think, should ultimately result in some kind of rules.
All right. So that means that the phone systems have become part of critical infrastructure. And as we go digital, it gets even a more pronounced problem. It sounds like the abandonment of the old POTS system, or the switched network, private switched network, is giving us a lot of new capabilities in telecommunications, but also we're losing something in reliability.
It's possible that we could, and that's and like I said, in my house, we'll always have one of the plain old telephone POTS, as you say, plain old telephone system phones, until copper wire goes away completely. But even as we move forward, that's why the FCC, that's why other agencies of the government, and that's why the carriers need to look at what the reliability and resiliency needs to be.
Is there anything Congress needs to do in terms of giving the FCC or other federal agencies authority that they don't have to kind of deal with this new age of digital phone service and even the current phone service to make sure things like this don't happen?
In my opinion, yes, they do. There is a question out there. The FCC could actually pass some rules and declare that broadband is part of the communications network. But Congress could do it more elegantly, I think, by going in and saying it. And the reason they haven't is there's this broad concept that you say, well, you shouldn't regulate the internet. And I agree, we don't want to regulate the innovation on the internet. But just like every other domain that we have, whether it's the sea or anything else, there need to be some rules. And the FCC has worked with industry to do light touch regulations like this outage reporting. That's fairly light touch regulations. And that authority needs to be given to the FCC so they can ensure that reliability.